Okay. Open your Bibles up to Genesis chapter 17. And we'll read right there first. We'll continue on with our adventure through the covenants and why we have covenants. But Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Once you really get a hold of this covenant deal that God has put forth, then you start understanding the promises. And then you start understanding that God is good to His Word. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 said, When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Now, look over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Remember, he said, between thee and thy seed. He's talking about Abraham's seed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I had been studying a little bit about covenants, and I was starting to understand a little bit, and then I ran into these two verses, and I thought, that's my bird nest on the ground. And I told another pastor about this, and he said, no, that's just for the Jews. And I kind of let the wind out of my sails, because I hadn't read far enough, and I didn't really understand the seed. But once I ran into verse 29, whenever you read Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, always read verse 29. If you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Once you get born again, you are Abraham's seed. You're heirs according to the promise. Period. I don't care what anybody says. In fact, you're more of an heir to the blessings of Abraham than the Jews are. Remember, Abraham is the father of faith. We're his seed. Because we belong to Christ, we fell heir to what Abraham had. What did Abraham have? He had a lot of camels and donkeys and sheep, and he had a lot of servants. But one interesting thing you need to know about Abraham is that when he met Melchizedek after the slaughter of the kings, Melchizedek called him, Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? That's what you fell heir to. you fell heir to everything. And actually, the Bible tells us that God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? Now, if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, we'll get a good picture of our covenant, the way these covenants work. But 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him in that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Now here's the interesting thing that you need to understand. God did much the same thing with you when you got born again. In fact, the Bible tells us that you've been clothed with the robe of righteousness. See, when you got born again, he took those old clothes of yours off. And he clothed you with the robe of righteousness. And he actually gave us some armor. He gave us the sword of the Spirit. He gave us the helmet of salvation. He gave us the breastplate of righteousness. He dressed us with his own clothes. See, ours were no good. But he dressed us. And he actually called you Christian. See, he changed your name. He gave you that name, Christian. You're a little Christ-like, little follower. The same way he changed Abram's name to Abraham. And then he gave you his name. He gave you the name of Jesus. Now, one thing about covenants, when people would cut covenants, you know, they would take certain things that belonged to each other, and they'd put them in each other's possession. They'd take sheep. They'd take sheep out of their flock and put it in with their flock, and they'd take sheep from that flock, put it in with that flock. Some of them would even go with salt, and they'd take salt, and they'd take some grains of salt, put it in a pile of salt. Now, if you can separate the grains of salt that belong over here, you can get out of this covenant. See, these were binding things. And then they would make a mark. They'd cut themselves. This is a blood covenant. They would cut themselves. The Indians would do that too. But these people would cut themselves in a manner where they'd leave a scar. So every time they looked at that, they had a reminder of this covenant that they were in. You know, one of the things about marriages is they came up with these rings, these never-ending circles, and they put them on fingers. You look at that, and that means you're in a covenant. Not just for yourself, somebody else looks at that, and it's a covenant. You understand that person is in a covenant. Unfortunately, some people don't honor that. You know, they look at a wedding ring as wolf repellent. Not as there's somebody on the other end of that covenant. Your marriage has not been honored. Especially in the legal system. I remember one time a man's wife ended up having an affair with a guy here in town, and he got mad and broke his window. And the county attorney called me in, asked me what I thought about it, said this other guy is afraid. And I said, well, he should be afraid. And she looked at me and said, well, the law says he can't break his window. I said, I don't care what your law says about breaking that window. This man should be afraid because he was sleeping with another man's wife, period. There's a higher law involved here. And it should not be participated in. That's covenant. That's a covenant. See, these people would make these covenants. And usually it was somebody, maybe some brainy little nerd that wasn't very strong. They'd find somebody that was strong and then make a covenant with them. They could have protection. The brainy little nerd could help the big strong guy in areas he was weak in. Well, the big strong guy could help the little nerd in areas he was weak in. They'd be responsible for each other's protection. You know, we got in this covenant with Jesus. We didn't have much. We didn't know much. And we really didn't amount to much. But when we got in this covenant with Jesus, he stepped in and he filled up our inadequacies. And he protects us. That's a big thing. Now, look over to Second Samuel chapter 9. The whole chapter of chapter 9 talks about this covenant really good, but we're going to look at one particular verse. Chapter 9, verse 1. David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? See, that whole chapter talks about a lot of the church, and they don't even realize it. Mephibosheth. You know, Mephibosheth had an interesting life. One thing about him is David was driven to give to Jonathan's seed for Jonathan's sake. Jonathan was already dead. And so was Saul. Mephibosheth had nothing to do with it except to receive. He wasn't there when they cut that covenant. You know, we weren't anywhere around when Abram cut that covenant with God that led to Jesus, who became our covenant head. All we could do is say, yeah, I want to be a part of this covenant. You realize that's what you did when you got born again? Said, yes, I want to be a part of this covenant. You know, Abram took Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice him, and they figure Isaac was in his 30s. He was a full-grown man. God called him a child. He wasn't a little boy. They figure he was about the same age as Jesus was when he got on the cross. He was well able to overpower Abram. But he was obedient, and he let Abram tie him up and put him on the altar. He knew what was going down. He had seen sacrifices before. And Abraham was willing to give him up as a sacrifice. I don't think Abraham went up there pouting. I don't think he went up that mountain pouting. I think he went up there kind of excited because he was going to see God do a miracle. I think Abraham would have went ahead and sacrificed him and burned him and he was waiting for God to see him bring him up out of the ashes because he knew God was good to his word. He said, your seed will be as many as the stars in the sky if you can count them. I don't think Abraham was pouting on the way up that mountain. I think he was excited. But God had to take him all the way through that so that God could put Jesus on that cross. It had to be that way. Now, all that David gave to Mephibosheth belonged to him all the time he lived in Lodebar, if he had only known it. How many Christians do we have today that have been given all things with Christ Jesus and they don't participate in hardly any of it? Because they don't know it. See, you're not going to operate in something that you don't know about. And it's a crazy thing. If you had a really rich relative left you an envelope, you need to come get it and see what it is. How many of you would take that envelope and take it home and put it up on the mantle without opening it? It sounds foolish, doesn't it? But yet we have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians that have been given a Bible. That this is what you fell heir to. And they take it home and they put it on the bookcase and they don't open it up to find out what God has given them. And then we have some that wait for the pastor to tell them what they've been given. Do you know that is even more dangerous? Did you know that there's pastors that will sit behind the pulpit and lie between their teeth every Sunday? They'll say, God might heal you and he might not. He might bless you and he might not. Where does it say that in the Bible? They'll say, God took your baby because he didn't want your baby to fall into sin. Where does it say that in the Bible? There's lies being told about God all the time. And it's nothing new. See, had Mephibosheth, had he possessed a copy and description of the covenant between David and his father and seen David's scar, he would not have had any trouble believing it. He didn't know. He didn't have a copy of that covenant. He didn't know what he fell heir to. See, Mephibosheth had been lied to. You know, in that culture, in that day and time, when somebody took over a kingdom, they went in there and they killed the king. They killed all of his seed. All of them. So when David was taking over the kingdom, these people knew the rules. They just didn't know David. But they knew the tradition. And one of them women grabbed Mephibosheth up and ran away to escape and dropped him, and it crippled him in his feet. But she still got him to Lodebar alive. Separated from the truth. And they told him that David had killed all of his family and that he had to stay in hiding because if David found him, he'd be dead. You know how many people think God wants to kill them? There's a lot of people that think that, you know, if they do something wrong, God will take them out. God takes the blame for a lot of stuff. I can't imagine how many death that he has been blamed for. It wasn't him. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. See, God, he's not into murdering people. That's not his style. He wants to bless people. You know, we've been lied to. The devil has lied to us. Sometimes people misinterpreting scripture lie to us. People that don't understand covenant lie to us. Some of them, out of the goodness of their heart, they're trying as hard as they can to help you, and they lie right through their teeth because they don't know the covenant. I don't know how many people I ran into that said, well, God gained another angel when one of their loved ones passes. They say, God gained another angel. I said, no, he didn't. That would be a demotion. Did you know you're not going to get wings when you leave this earth? That would be a demotion. You're not going to get wings. You're not going to be an angel. You're going to be a people. You're just not going to be trapped in your earth suit anymore. Amen? You're going to be liberated. So, Jesus ran into this daughter of Abraham that was bowed over. And, you know, when you're bowed over, you're looking down, so you recognize people by their toe size. Well, anyway, in that day and time when you went to church, the synagogue, the men were down here on the main floor in the chairs or the benches. And the women were up in a balcony separated from the men. And whenever you notice the weakest of the pack, they get shuffled back. So this woman, and this is all, it was really cool when I found out about this, because I always thought that she come walking by the altar and Jesus set her free. But that wasn't what happened. She was way back there in the back of the pack, up in the nosebleed section, out of sight of Jesus in the natural. But she believed God. And when she believed God, she believed in the mercy of Jesus, she got healed. And he called her a daughter of Abraham, which means she had to be in faith. He didn't call Pharisees sons of Abraham. He didn't call the scribes sons of Abraham. And they knew all the religious ideas. But this woman believed God, and he called her a daughter of Abraham. So let's look over here to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. So therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's you. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, you're fully qualified for the blessings of Abraham. 100% you're qualified by the blood of Jesus. And it's by faith that it might be by grace. How do you receive these promises? Saying thank you is a good start. you know, we spend a lot of time asking God to bless us when He already has blessed us, when we should be spending our time thanking Him for what He's given us so that we can receive it. See, Jesus gave us that main key at the tomb of Lazarus. He went up and He said, "Father, I thank You that You hear my prayers." He started off by thanking God. And then Lazarus came out of the tomb. He thanked his way into a miracle. We can thank our way into miracles. We can thank our way into blessings. We already discussed, He has already given it to us. So we can concentrate on thanking Him for it so we can receive it. Now, just like Mephibosheth, we'll be separated from the covenants of promise if we don't know what those promises are. See, if we don't look in here and find out what He has given us, we're not going to operate in it. See, if you don't know healing is available to you today, you're not going to operate in it. You're not going to receive it. If you don't know miracles are still part of the deal, you're not going to receive any miracles. If you don't know that finances are part of it, you're not going to receive the finances you need. If you don't know protection is part of it, you're not going to receive the protection that you need. Here's the one that really grinds me. There's some people that don't believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is relevant for today. It didn't go away with the apostles. Did you know there's still apostles today? So if you don't ever hear the word being preached about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to operate in it. And even worse, sometimes people get told that tongues is of the devil. That one really bugs me. That really, really bugs me. Tongues is a wonderful thing that God has given the church. You know, I spent a lot of time in some pretty rough places. And if anybody would have heard, you know, if tongues was really of the devil, I would have ran into it. I never heard tongues. And never even heard it mentioned until I got to church. And when I heard that peaceful language, that didn't have anything. There was no resemblance of that to the world that I left behind. There was nothing in the world that I left behind that could bring me peace and confidence and understanding the way praying in tongues did. Nothing. But yet, people are cut off from that because they think it's not for us. See, this is the importance of reading the Bible for yourself and believing what you read. Not just reading what you believe, but believing what you read. And then what you have to do, every single one of us, I don't care who we are, I don't care how long we've been studying the Bible, when we read something in the Bible and it interferes with what we believe, we have to take what we believe and ask ourselves, why do we believe this? And then look in the Bible and find out if what we believe lines up with what the Word says. And if what we believe doesn't line up with the Word says, then we need to shake it off. See, this is one reason I'm really, really glad that I was not raised in church. And I'm really, really glad that the Holy Spirit managed to get me to read the Bible for myself, the New Testament, several times before I set foot in church. Because then he had a kind of a truth sifter in me. I had the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of me. I had his word. He had something to work with. So when these guys would say something, I'd get that check, and I'd say, that's not right. But see, if you don't know, if you don't have that word in you, you're not going to know one way or another if it's right or not. And there's some people that believe they have to wait for maybe their convention. They'll have a question about a scripture, so they'll wait for their convention to tell them whether it's something that they should believe or not. That's terrible. You need to look at the Word of God and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this, but show it to me. Show me what I need to know. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for teaching us about covenants. We thank you for teaching us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit, who's always here to guide us and comfort us. Father, we ask you as we go continue on with this adventure into covenant land that we go in there with an open heart and you can fill us with your faith and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.